People. People are an integral part of everything that we do, everything that we know in this world. People are very important to the church. In fact, the church is made up of people. You wouldn't have a church if you didn't have people. You know, flesh and blood, that's where the rubber meets the road in our world. All the advertisements and things are designed to attract people, not robots. Clothes are designed for people, not animals, although you might find some for animals. But you know, people are important to God, and they are to be very important to us as a church. People were important to the Apostle Paul. And time again, as you read his letters, you see him mentioning names of people. Specific people that have had a role in his life, whether for the positive or for the negative. He speaks of them and how they have been involved in the ministry. He speaks of them and how God has used them to encourage him, to build up his church. We now reach the end of the letter to Titus. And again, we're going to see an emphasis on people. You know, we can get so focused on our ideals and philosophies and things that we forget people. And we forget that all of these things have been designed by God for people. And you know, in the book of Titus, we see people addressed time and time again. In chapter 1, we see Titus is to come and establish leadership in the church. Well, who's the leaders? They sure, certainly aren't palm trees. They're people. They are men who have been matured in the faith. In chapter 2, you see Titus is to exhort the older men, the older women, the younger women. These are exhortations are for people. At the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, we see God's message of salvation. We see God's mercy. We see God's grace. And you know what? God's mercy and grace, it's not for the animals and it's not for your dog. It is for you as a person. It is for people. It is you that responds to the grace of God. That is God's favor upon you even when you don't even deserve it. It is God's mercy that is for you in that, yes, you do deserve eternal damnation from God. But you know what? Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He saves you and keeps you from that. People are valuable. Titus chapter 3, I invite you to turn there as we complete our study in this letter. I've enjoyed this letter very much as it's been very personal and focused on so many specific things of the church. Now, Titus chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 12 through 15. And before I do, I just want to make one note. Many times you will find yourself reading passages in the Bible, and you will say, well, there's not much in there for me. Okay? That is the temptation. You will come to passages where there is list after list after list of people's names that you cannot even pronounce. You will come to places where there are cities named. You will come to places where there are people mentioned. And the immediate temptation is to say, well, that's nice. They must have been important to the writer, but they aren't important to me. That's the temptation, and here's my exhortation to us all. God and His Word, He's preserved every bit of it for our benefit and to help us become profitable for Him. And we need to look at and dig deep to see why God has preserved these words for us. What is it He has in these truths that is for us? And I trust that God will direct our attention to that today as we read this passage
And Paul mentions several people. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis. For I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute you. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now, this is a typical closing of a letter, as if you were to read the Apostle Paul and his letters throughout the New Testament, as he writes to different people, he will typically close a letter in this form, in this manner, mentioning all of the different people, and basically what he's doing is saying hello and greetings to you, and look forward to seeing you soon. Those kinds of things. We do the same thing today in our own letters, if we do them anymore. We do emails now, right? But I tell you, letters are still valuable. They're still special to receive. But what we'd like to see, what I believe God might want us to see today, is these three thoughts. First of all, godly leadership is needed. And we're going to see that in verse 12. Good living is expected in verses 13 and 14. And then gracious love is communicated. Those three thoughts will flesh out here in the next moments together. Looking at verse 12, Apostle Paul writes, "When I shall send Artemis unto you, or Tychicus." Notice it says, "When I shall send." In other words, here is what's going on. Titus is on the island of Crete. And you know what? Turn in the back of your Bibles. I love maps, and I hope your Bible has one. Turn in the back of your Bible to the map section, Paul's missionary journeys. And I will just give you a brief geography here of where things are, so that when we're going through this, you know what's happening. Right in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, you see the island of Crete. This is the island where Titus is ministering the gospel. Apostle Paul has written a letter and sent it to the island of Crete, probably in the hands of Apollos and Zenos. And we're going to talk more about them later. But he has sent the letter with them. They are the messengers. Now, the Apostle Paul says that I will be wintering in Nicopolis. Now, Nicopolis means city of victory. Nike is a word that means victory. And you see Nicopolis. Polis is a word for city. So this is a city of victory. This is something that was set up by one of the emperors celebrating one of his great military victories. Now, Nicopolis, if you go north, northwest of Crete, you will see Achaia, or modern-day Greece. On the western side of Greece, you will see the city of Nicopolis. It's just north of Actium. Now, at Nicopolis, this is most likely where Paul was going to be wintering, and he is asking Titus to come and meet him there. Now, back to Titus. Now that you have that visual in your head, the Apostle Paul has Artemis and Tychicus by his side, and his plan is to send one of them to take Titus's place at the church in Crete. Godly leadership is needed for the church. I want you to notice something. The island of Crete, it needed leadership. The church needed leadership. It needed someone who was there, who knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, knew the teachings of the Apostle Paul, and knew how to establish this work so that it might become indigenous, so that it might become guided by its own people. And God was using Titus, but his time was coming to an end, and either Artemis or Tychicus were going to be sent to take his place. We don't know much about Artemis. This is the only time he is mentioned here. Now, Tychicus, we do know some things about, and just wanted to make a few notes for us about him. Tychicus was a very valuable man to the Apostle Paul. He was involved in the church. He accompanied the Apostle Paul on the second part of his third missionary journey. He's mentioned about four times in the New Testament. But one of the most significant points that is made about him is written in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to what it says. It says, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." You know what? This man, Tychicus, he was a messenger of comfort. He was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. He was a trustworthy communicator. Those are some powerful words the Apostle Paul had to say about him. He also said in Colossians chapter 4, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information." He was the Apostle Paul's messenger, and he ministered for him. You know what? The church needs leadership. The Apostle Paul understood that, and so therefore Titus was to stay put until one of these men arrived. You know what? The church needs leadership. My heart breaks as I hear of churches that do not have pastors and leaders. But you know what? The pastor is not the sole leader of the church, although he might get up and preach and those kinds of things. And you know, there are the deacons and the elders that are involved and lead. You know what? The church does need leadership, and we must trust God to provide that leadership. So, well, here's the question. You might say, well, that sounds great. Tychicus sounds like a great guy. Well, I want you to realize he's being called upon by the Apostle Paul, by God, to be used as a leader. What about you? Are you ready to be used by God for his service? Could your name be mentioned in a paragraph like Tychicus? Are you known as a messenger of comfort, beloved one, faithful minister? Are you a trustworthy communicator? You know what? Titus, he was exhorted by God to establish the church in Crete. He was to ordain elders. He was to exhort the people of all ages, older and younger men and women. But you know what? The church needs leadership. The church needs you and me to stand up and be ready to serve him in whatever capacity he's calling upon us. Godly leadership is needed. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." That's what it was like on Crete, on the island of Crete. People, they needed sound doctrine and teaching. And that's why Titus was there. That's why he wasn't to leave until Tychicus or Artemis arrived. "When I shall send Artemis unto thee," or Tychicus, "be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Titus, come, and come with haste. Be diligent to come and be with me in Nicopolis. Now, we come to verse 13, where we see good living is expected. I want you to notice these men that are mentioned. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We have a lawyer mentioned. Many people have different opinions of lawyers. I'm watching your faces even now. And we see God here. God had got a hold of this man, Zenas. Lawyer, what kind of lawyer was he? Well, we don't know for sure. He could have been a man who converted to Judaism and studied the Mosaic Law, although his name is a Greek name. He very well could have been a lawyer in the Roman legal system. We don't know for sure, but we do know that he knew the law. And we know and understand that he had to be a very intelligent man who had influence. Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. Now, Apollos, we know some things about. Apollos was a Jew from Alexandria. And if you know anything about Alexandria, this was a city in Egypt that was known for great learning. And we first see Apollos in the book of Acts, where he is preaching with all of his heart and with great skill the message of repentance, that which John the Baptist was declaring. Well, Aquila and Priscilla heard him preaching. They pulled him aside and taught him the rest of the story. They taught him about Jesus Christ. And they shared with him what Jesus Christ had done upon the cross, paid the penalty for sin, and rose again. And from that point on, Apollos became a powerful preacher. He was known for his skill with his tongue. And people came to Christ as a result of his work. Well, what does this mean about bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently? Well, what this really means is send them on their way. In other words, Zenas and Apollos have come in, they most likely brought the letter, and Titus was to send them on their way with nothing lacking. And then in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. For example, we have two missionaries now ready to travel again. Send them on their way with everything that they need. This is an example of those good works that God is calling us to. You know, good works is something that was, as mentioned several times in the book of Titus, at least four to be exact. And a Christian is to be marked as one who does good works. Not only here in the church, but also in the community and beyond. And we've already talked about how our good works show our faith in God. You know what? Our world believes that good works will get them to heaven. That's not true. That is not what the Bible teaches. Remember the thief on the cross? He was on the cross because he was a thief. But he turned to the Lord Jesus and he said, remember me. And that day the Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. What good works did the thief do to deserve salvation? He didn't do good works. He believed. And God changes lives. And we talked about that already in our study of the book of Titus. Good works must be an important part of the church. They must be an important part of our lives. And one of the ways that the Apostle Paul is saying here is send these missionaries on their way, lacking nothing. Be fruitful, church. Be bearing fruit, showing that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Value the things that he valued. Remember that the Lord Jesus, he did more than just teach. He touched. He ministered to the physical needs of people. How can we do that better as a church? How can we minister to the physical needs of people? How can you as a family minister to people through good works, showing Christ through your works? How can you do that? I'm in the process as a pastor and as a father and husband asking God, how do we do that? How do I display Christ in my family to this community? How do we as a church display Christ in this community through the things that we do? Not just the things that we say, the things that we do. There is something to be said for the works that come out of a believer, not just the words. You know, James in his book, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You understand what he's saying? You see someone in need, you just tell them, go, be warmed and filled, everything will be okay. But we don't give them what they need. What profit is that? James says, faith without works is dead. And so we understand that the principles from the Scriptures in the New Testament is that our faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen and fleshed out through the way we live, both our words and our actions. And that is not just for the individual, that's also for the church. Because yes, the church is made up of individuals, people. So godly leadership is needed. Good living is expected. And finally, gracious love is communicated. Verse 15, all that are with me salute you, or greet you. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. I want you to notice that love is promoted in relationships. You see this love in people. And there was a great unity that pervaded the church of those days. No matter what city or town the Apostle Paul was, where he was, and he was writing to another, he would communicate a love and a message of grace to those people. Well, church, John 17 records a prayer of our Lord Jesus, and he closed it with these words, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Is the love of Christ in you? Is the love of Christ something that exudes from your pores, that flows out? What is the love of Christ? You realize that the love of Christ is not some emotional feel-good type of thing. It is a commitment. It is a commitment to care for and to see through no matter what was done. The Bible says, but God showeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's a committed kind of love. That when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he accepts me for who I am. Sin? Yes, I have sinned. But you know what? He died for that sin. He paid the penalty for that sin. That's on the cross. And he rose again, showing victory over sin and over death. And we praise God. Praise God for his gracious work in our lives. So we see how important leadership is. We see how important living well, good works, and having a gracious love. And I trust that we as a church will exhibit those qualities and understand that the world is watching. They're looking for God. They want to see God, whether they think that or not. That's what they're looking for. And we have a chance to show him through our lives. Let's do that. Let's be faithful in that endeavor. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would carry us through this week and give us strength and opportunities, Lord, courage to minister for you. Thank you, Lord, for these closing words and remarks. I thank you for these dear people that are mentioned and for how you use them in the lives of the Apostle Paul and all over the known world to minister the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we as a church, we would be those kind of people. We would be faithful ministers. We would be known for our stance on the things of Jesus Christ and on the gospel. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here that does not know you, Lord Jesus, may today be the day that they join the family of God. Lord, your Spirit is now at work in their lives. And I pray that today they would trust you as Savior. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.